Let's talk about Game Time tickets, people. We've been talking about it, actually, for months here on the Rich Eisen Show and our Rich Eisen podcasts. But guess what? There's something new to tell you about Game Time. There's a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. Yet another way that Game Time makes things easier for you when you're looking for tickets to anything in your area. With the new Game Time Picks, it's curation easier to save more on sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And with the all-in pricing feature, which is my favorite, you get to see the total up front, so there's no surprise fees at Game Time checkout. And with Game Time, you always get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time's going to credit you 110% of the difference. Plus, your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Take the guesswork out of buying concert tickets in particular with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
319!
Aaron Rodgers fires one up the right seam for Lazard. He's got it at the 5 and in the end zone. That's a jet touchdown.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's been a while. I felt great. I had a lot of gratitude.
They run Mason off the left side, a cutback run. Touchdown!
Earlier on the show, Bears head coach Matt Eberflus, hosts of the Heed the Call podcast, Dan Hanses, and Mark Sessler. Coming up, Arizona Senator Mark Kelly. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hi, yes, everybody. Welcome to hour number 3 of the Rich Eisen Show, right here on the Roku Sports Channel. And we've over the last couple weeks since our friends at Roku in the portal have kind of switched up the way that our show is broadcast to you live. We've been on the old channel 210, the Rich Eisen Show channel, since we came on the air a couple of years ago, right around now, right? This is year 3 for us on the Roku channel coming up this very week. As a matter of fact, happy anniversary to all of our friends over in Roku and at any rate, and all of us in here. As well, we're on live every day on the Roku Sports Channel. That is a new, if you will, concoction and world in which Good Morning Football Overtime precedes us. We're on, and then the other Roku Sports programming is on throughout the day. We re-air at 5 Eastern time every single day on the Roku Sports Channel. And then again, the next morning at 6 a.m. Eastern time. And then there's the Rich Eisen Show channel that many of you have been taking us in on ever since we came on the air. That channel re-airs our show every single day, nonstop. We're not on there live anymore. The first ever live re-air, first ever re-air of our programming that is the freshest, if you will, is 6 Eastern time every day. So I know it may be confusing for some of you, but that's the way that we're coming out of the chute here for the NFL season. Just giving everybody who listens to us, that might be listening to us right now, that frequently wants to watch us, that's the way you can catch us every single day. The senator, Arizona Senator Mark Kelly's coming on as an author in about 18 minutes' time. Maustronaut Saves the World. That's a new children's book about... it's a partially true story, he says, and I want to know what he means by partially true story.
Interesting,
because politicians
based on a true story.
Politicians are always accused of telling only half the story.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
Half truth.
He's a Cardinals fan as well. We'll talk to him about that near dub in Western New York for him and the Cardinals. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. It's a Tuesday.
Oh.
Which means during the NFL season, when the Overreaction Monday podcast comes out every single Monday, we play the version of it here on the show the next day, which gives you, Chris, an opportunity to overreact to something on Monday Night Football,
exactly,
which I'm imagining you're about to do to put me in a position, if you will. It's time for Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday. Hit it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage. This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday. On a Tuesday.
All right, Christopher, hit it. Hit it.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Everybody good?
We're good.
Yeah, man.
We're
Mike, great thank to you. See you. We missed you in Kansas City. Not really.
I know. I wanted the food.
The 49ers should be number one in everyone's power rankings this week.
Okay. That's an overreaction, especially since I know how I'm going to do my power rankings tomorrow. So, come on, man. What recency bias?
What do you mean, man? You know what I saw last night? The best team in the National Football League. Ooh. They took they took the team that everyone thought, oh, the Jets are going to the Super Bowl.
Everyone thought that?
And
everyone
they made them look stupid.
Who thought that?
With a backup running back who'd never really played before.
Excuse me.
Come on, guys.
As you know, I came on the show today and gave the 49ers all the flowers that they deserve, and there's many of them to spread around. Offense, defense, special teams.
The Chiefs won by a toenail.
Offense, defense, special teams. I understand you, certainly in segments like this, Overreaction Monday is all about what the people are saying. Yeah. It's all about what fans are saying. It's what our friends and media are saying,
yes.
And how one specific game can cause a knee-jerk overreaction. And some people in the media put the jerk in knee-jerk. That's
true.
Not us.
True.
However, Chris, the 49ers did what they did last night against a team that has a lot of hype around it. The Chiefs did what they did on Thursday night, despite winning by a toenail or not, against the team that hosted them in last year's AFC Championship game after having the best record in the American Football Conference, fielding the defending most valuable player of the National Football League. Come on. One thing is not like the other, as the children's theme would go.
Hall of Fame quarterback,
true.
Two fantasy players,
correct.
First round players
correct.
On their team,
correct.
A supposed top five defense.
Supposed.
And they made them look like a junior high team.
Which, by the way, you got to beat the team that's in front of you and do what you need to do to win. And if you can beat them up in the process and show their heartbeat and show them their beating hearts in your hand while ripping it out of their chest and show it to you pumping, all the better.
Here, Coach.
That said, at this point in time, the Ravens are last year's number one seed. The Jets were last year's number 10 overall on the clock team. What else, Chris?
Yeah, I don't know.
What else? The Niners are great, but I mean, normally I don't give you a preview of my power rankings, but
right.
This just in.
Got to overreact.
Come on.
To the other team that played on Monday Night Football.
Oh,
TJ, you know, I could have went in
this guy.
Many directions here.
This guy.
At least 30.
This guy.
Direction.
I thought about saying Rodgers should have just retired. But Rich, the Jets.
Get out of here. He wasn't. Come on.
The Jets aren't going to win as many games as they did last year.
They won 7 last year.
They're not winning that many.
I'll call that an overreaction.
I didn't see many wins from that team.
Let me say something to you. The best positive to come out of last night's game wasn't that one drive where Garrett Wilson looked like the number one receiver in the National Football League and Aaron Rodgers looked like the multiple MVP that he is.
That was a good 7 minutes.
It was great. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what the Jets offense can do. And hopefully for them, more consistently. Correct? But the best thing for the Jets is Aaron Rodgers was healthy. He had a post-game press conference standing there as a healthy man. Dude.
Where is A-Ron right now?
Not heading west to visit Dr. Neil Elatrosh's operating room. That's what things were like at this point 1 year from Thursday. That's the anniversary of the day after. And there is no day after. The day after is you're 0-1. Let's try it again against Tennessee.
Nice.
What else, Chris?
Good luck.
You don't mean it. That's not an overreaction.
Hey, you're looking
either.
Up at us in the standings, which I didn't think
that's
would
a
happen
true story.
All year.
That's
all
a
year.
True story.
Hey, I don't think we're talking enough about these two players, two running backs who went to different homes, who had fantastic week ones. Either Joe Mixon or Saquon Barkley going to lead the NFL in rushing this year.
I don't think that's an overreaction.
I hope not.
Well, McCaffrey missed one game already. Derrick Henry, didn't light it up in week one. These guys have a nice head start on them. Obviously, they're not going to do this every week. But I, I, I wouldn't be surprised if one of these guys went wire to wire. Who else could there be?
I mean, I hope so because they're on my fantasy team, which beat you this week,
that's
as
correct.
You know. So.
I know that. I know that was tough for me. And by the way, I only lost by 2 points despite that double dip.
If we were playing horseshoes or hand grenades, that almost would be.
I am aware of that.
So seven guys had 100 yards this week.
Who else?
Kenneth Walker, Ramondre Stevenson.
Ramondre!
J.K. Dobbins, obviously Jordan Mason on Monday night, and Lamar Jackson.
Had 120. So out of those guys, you know, Kenneth Walker didn't finish the game.
Did not.
Right, and we're going to see how healthy he is moving
forward. But he did a post-game press conference, so I imagine he's
another one is a quarterback, although great quarterback. But Lamar's not going to lead the league in rushing. I think Mason's not going to play. You already heard. There's not going to be a two-tier system. There's not going to be a two running back situation in San Francisco.
And Aaron Jones and David Montgomery each had over 90 yards.
Yeah, they might make a nice run, but I'm not going to push back on this one. I don't think this is an overreaction.
Joe Mixon was really impressive.
He sure as hell was.
He looked so good.
By the way, if you're focusing on Stephon Diggs and Nico Collins and Tank Dell and Dalton Schultz and C.J. Stroud, and then you turn around and hand to this guy,
ooh, buddy,
he might have some room.
Yeah.
He might have some light boxes, as they say.
Oh.
Oh.
Is that the 2024 phrase it pays?
I don't know.
I don't know.
All right. How about this one, guys? We talked a little bit yesterday, Rich, about the New York Football Giants.
Yes, sir.
Yesterday on Overreaction Monday podcast, I said we're already on Drew Lock watch.
I agreed with you.
We're also on Bill Belichick watch for 2025 for the New York Giants.
Dude.
I mean...
Dude,
Rich,
before you answer, I just want to point out that CM Punk proved this year that you can go back home again. So
I can't sit here and just one weekend is where that we're on Belichick watch in New York. That's
already
that's much.
He's got rings.
That's
there,
a lot.
Rich.
That's a lot. I will say this in advance of Wednesday's What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. I did email Amy last night. You know, I try not to influence subject matters, but I'm kind of...
You put your thumb on the scale too much.
On occasion, you know. Yeah. I mean, it's the Rich Eisen Podcast Network. I said, hey, when the co-owner of the team is caught on the Hard Knocks camera saying, I will delegate to you what you wish to do with Saquon Barkley's free agency. I just don't want to see him walk to Philadelphia. And he walks to Philadelphia, and he scores three touchdowns in the opener.
Three.
And you then perform like this in week one. What do you say to John Mara when you see him in the hallway? Is there any similarity to a moment like that? I know, again, she was a team president and a Hall of Fame version of that, as a matter of fact, I should say. She didn't shop the groceries for the Raiders. I'm like, is there any similarity to a situation like that for Al Davis? and she said she will address the subject matter this week.
Oh.
Jim Nance is the guest. I will just throw that out there as I'll call this an overreaction. Okay. It's just 1 week.
I think you work from home if that's the case. You don't want to see him.
But what do you do? Like, this was why I said Giants fans need a hug.
Big time.
What else, Chris?
Guys, I think I got COVID.
Yes.
Chris Long yesterday called this player cooked. And we talked to
not
Mark
Brandon.
Sessler.
Not Brandon.
Not Brandon.
Not the Archer who scored a touchdown.
Not Brandon. We talked to Mark Sessler earlier. He called it an apocalypse. The Browns need to move on ASAP from Deshaun Watson.
They got to give him at least another day or two on a Sunday.
You mean game or two?
Game or two. Yeah, that's what I should say. Day or two.
We're getting close to crab legs in the clubhouse and
dude,
the 92, EDWs.
You owe $92 million after this year. Again, the Broncos showed you that teams can take a dead cap hit of 80 mil, right? And spread it out over 2 years and get a rookie quarterback and try and win games. We'll see how that plan plays out over the next 2 years. Because that's a large chunk. That's a nice chunk of the pie, right? out of the salary cap.
Yeah, for sure.
So we'll see how the Broncos fare. I don't know, because the Browns are slated to win right now, though. Like right now. They're supposed to win right now. They're built to win right now. And so I understand that you could say, then let's try and win it right now with Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
I'm not willing to say that they're going to do that just yet. We'll see how he looks in Jacksonville. You know, if Sam Darnold went 19-24 against the Giants defense, that's your bar that you got to leap past or at least match in week three?
You would think.
Vegas?
You would think weeks three, four, five. Those are winnable games that they should win.
By the way, Vegas, the way that the Chargers beat Vegas wasn't by outpassing them.
No, they pounded
them. It was a physical game. Yeah. And that physical game that the Browns, you would think, could win. Boy, did they lose it this Sunday. I mean, the Cowboys out-physicaled them, too.
Yeah, big time.
Which I know is not really an English word, out-physicaled, but...
It is now.
It's a sports word. So I'll just push back on this as an overreaction. Doing it after week one, like right now, like, hey, Deshaun, you're benched.
Like Chris Long said yesterday.
It's Jameis Winston in Jacksonville.
You saw this train coming.
I know.
Pull the ripcord.
I think it's still too early. Chris.
All right. Okay.
Okay, Jim.
You got one
right,
more?
Last one.
Okay, Jim.
Last one, and this is mostly for Mike Hoskins in the back.
All right, man. I think Mike wants to play the drop in the worst way. You got it?
You think we need one more? All right, we'll get one more.
All right, Chris, what else you got?
Thank you. Josh Allen and the Bills, they proved the road to the AFC title still goes through Buffalo.
I don't know if they proved it, but I think what they definitely proved is anybody that thinks that they're going to have a demise that's greatly exaggerated.
Josh Allen, your week one MVP, right?
He's up there.
He did something only Steve Young has done.
I know that.
Oh, two rushing and two passing touchdowns in the same game.
I'm aware of that.
Okay. I was just explaining for the
audience.
Yeah,
I'm aware of that. I'm aware of that. So, yeah, I got you.
Short week, impressive. Short week this week in Miami.
Very impressive. So, I think this is still premature that the road to the AFC still goes through Buffalo. Can I put a pin in it? Keep my or move the chess piece. Keep my finger on it. And let's revisit this Friday. Can we revisit this
Friday?
Yeah,
sure. Miami didn't really impress me last week, but
dude, you can't discount the manner in which they walked into the locker room that day. You just can't. You cannot discount.
That's true.
That did you hear what happened to Tyreek?
Yeah, you're right.
And what's going on and how the hell did that play? Did you hear what happened with Calais and John?
Yeah, I meant on the field, but yeah.
I understand that. But right. The fact like you can't, they're not robots.
True.
So I'll just keep my finger on the piece and say, ask me Friday.
I will.
You know, it just reminds me of the time when I used to cover baseball at ESPN, and whenever I'd cover a game, I did a few Cardinals games. And I asked Tony La Russa, hey, Tony, how are you? And he says, ask me after 9 innings.
I can feel it.
Ask me after 9 innings.
That's what he said. I never really had the pushback to say to him, what if we go to extras? All right. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the program. Guess what? We've got an author coming up. He also happens to be one of the sitting senators from the great state of Arizona, Senator Mark Kelly, who's got a new children's book, Mousetronaut Saves the World. That's coming up next right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll talk some Cardinals football with him, too. Let's talk DoorDash, people. If your family's like mine, it probably is. You want something to eat, your kids want something else to eat. How do you handle it all? How do you make sure everybody's happy? DoorDash. That's how you make sure everybody's happy. The food delivery app is the most awesome on-demand delivery platform that you can go get to make sure that food comes to the places you like right to your table. It's awesome, especially now that football's finally back, which means it's time to order your favorite game day food, snacks, and drinks on DoorDash without missing a single play. And here's how I can help you. Use my promo code, RICHEISEN24, for 50% off up to a $10 value when you spend $15 or more dollars on your first order. Limited time offer. Terms apply. Promo's not valid for orders containing alcohol. DoorDash, your door to game day greatness. Your door to more. Download the DoorDash app now to order your game day favorites and use my promo code RICHEISEN24. Must be 21 or older to order alcohol. Drink responsibly. Alcohol available only in select markets.
The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches.
Let's talk about game time tickets, people. We've been talking about it, actually, for months here on the Rich Eisen Show and our Rich Eisen podcasts. But guess what? There's something new to tell you about Game Time. There's a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. Yet another way that Game Time makes things easier for you when you're looking for tickets to anything in your area. With the new Game Time Picks, it's curation easier to save more on sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And with the all-in pricing feature, which is my favorite, you get to see the total up front, so there's no surprise fees at Game Time checkout. And with Game Time, you always get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time's going to credit you 110% of the difference. Plus, your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Take the guesswork out of buying concert tickets in particular with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Back here on the show, by the way, I was just saying in the commercial break, the Arliss check that I opened up for Residual Rich in the second hour.
It's $16.
$16. I mean, okay, honestly, normally your guesses of like 2 cents, yeah, 5 cents.
Right, 10 cents. I was on with 13
dude,
cents.
Yeah, you normally you'd be spot on. Normally you'd be spot on.
That was like,
$16. I mean, you could add up every check I've gotten since Arliss went on the air in the mid 90s, and I don't think it's $16.
That's funny.
By the way, speaking of the one thing I have in common with Aaron Judge, outside, I guess, of the two things, rooting for the Yankees.
He hasn't homered in like a week and a half.
Do you know what? He hasn't homered in a week and a half. Do you know what people are calling the jinx? He has not homered since he appeared on Puppy Dog Pals.
Oh, no, really? Wait, that was Paw Patrol, right? His Paw Patrol episode?
No, Puppy Dog Pals.
Oh, big different
it's
one.
Different,
oh,
sir.
Oh, different. Okay, sorry.
How dare you?
Sorry.
How dare you?
I know that
I've been on Puppy Dog Pals,
an
and I had great shows.
Paw Patrol.
Maybe I should reach out to Aaron, or he should reach out to me on how you can focus and perform after appearing on Puppy Dog Pals.
With all due respect, I like Aaron Judge as a player. I'm playing against him in the fantasy semifinals, so if he wants to just keep not hitting home runs, that'd be great.
He is not homered.
That'd be great.
When's the last time he homered?
It's been like 10 days. Just keep extending that. I'm playing against him this week.
Yeah. That's what somebody told me. He's not homered. You know somebody. Cooper told me that.
Oh, yeah. Well,
he's not homered since Puppy Dog Pounds.
Cooper's locked in.
Well, he would know.
He would know.
Big fantasy playoffs. I'm trying to go back-to-back. So like.
Oh, gosh. Like the Kansas City Chiefs,
just
huh?
Need Judge to just take a few more games off.
Like the Las Vegas Aces.
This guy, that's right. Another good one.
Three.
That's right. He wants to be the Asia Wilson.
Right. Just a few days off.
He'll never be that great. Right? No offense. No offense.
Yes, I love it. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. The new book, children's book, Maustronaut, saves the world, based on a partially true story by astronaut Mark Kelly, who also happens to be Senator Mark Kelly of Arizona, and he's a diehard Cardinals fan right here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Mark?
I am good, Rich. Good to see you. Good to be on your show. Good to be here.
Good to have you back. The last time we had you on was a couple of years ago calling in. We might revisit part of that conversation shortly. But tell me about this book that's out today.
The partial part of the story that was true was on my first space flight, we had 18 mice on board. And the first time I went to look in their cage to see how they were doing, 17 of them were pretty freaked out about the experience. But one little guy seemed to get it and would float over and get his food and float back over and get his water and seemed to be having a good time being in space. So that's where the partial true story comes from. I wrote a series of books, so this is the third one. The first one came out a little over a decade ago. And the idea here is a number of things, but really to get kids excited about reading. They're excited about space. Kids love, seem to love astronauts and space and planets. So I use that to get them focused on reading.
So now when you were witnessing this very, brave mouse, did you think to yourself, I'm going to write a children's book about this? Like at the time when you're sitting up there, Mark?
No, you're too busy. You know, I got too much other stuff to worry about, getting docked to the space station, getting all our payloads installed. It was only after I came back and I mentioned the term mousetronaut, and this mouse, did somebody then say, hey, that could be a children's book.
And now it is today. Very good. The mousetronaut.
Comes out today.
Okay, very good. In a way, I'll say it. You can't say it. It's very similar to Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals story, potentially, right? Senator Kelly, would you say that?
Yeah, I watched a good chunk of the game yesterday. Very excited about the Cardinals and their season, and Marvin Harrison Jr. You know what he could mean to the franchise, and Kyler Murray having a great year. But yeah, maybe it's a little bit like that.
It could be. He saves the Cardinals. Listen, man. I mean, obviously, it's just week one, and last year we saw the Cardinals perform very well, despite losing a ton of their games. But they just do seem to have a moxie about them whenever they're playing right now, Senator.
Yeah, they do. They do. We'll have to see here. I've been really excited about the Cardinals since I moved to Arizona over a decade ago. I don't get to go to as many games as I want, but I do get to watch them every Sunday or whenever they happen to be playing. And I think they're gonna really turn it around this season and can be contenders.
Yeah, so did you ever play football? Did you ever try it?
I did. I have a trying to see, I might actually be laying over there. I was on a Pop Warner. I played in like up to about middle school on a Pop Warner team. But one of the highlights of my football career, and I wasn't playing a lot, but I was on a team that not only went undefeated, it was not scored upon.
Really?
What?
So zeros all around.
Zeros the entire season. It was West Orange, New Jersey. The team was named the Mustangs, and we were unscored upon and undefeated. And if I could just jump over there, I think
I
got the article.
Go ahead.
Wow, this is amazing.
I have it laying out. I didn't print it out for the show.
Okay, yeah.
But look at this.
Mustangs undefeated and unscored upon.
Have you ever heard of that before?
Never.
Not on any team?
Never. What was your role in that? Were you a linebacker or something like that? Where were you?
Yeah, but I, you know, this is one of these teams. We had some really, really good players, and they often played both offense and defense. So I sat on the bench a lot, but I did go in occasionally. I don't think my name is actually mentioned in this article with all the really good players that were on the team. But I was on this team.
Oh my gosh. Well, yeah, being from Jersey, right? I mean, like that's that you know, Jersey's kind of like an underrated pipeline of football players. You know, when you think about, you know, college players and high school players, you're hearing a lot about California or Texas or Ohio, Florida, you know, Georgia, but not Jersey's up there with them.
You think Jersey's up there?
100%.
I don't remember anybody from my high school ever even being a division, even on this team, wind up Division One. They're all at Ramapo College and
Maybe that's your next book, Senator Kelly. Maybe that's your next book, Mark. It could be your next book about. So the author, Senator Mark Kelly, a mousetronaut saves the world right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Get these books wherever you can. A few minutes left with the senator from the state of Arizona. What is going on right now with the with astronauts in space, that they're going to be stuck until the next year? What do you know about this right now?
Well, I know a good amount. I've the two individuals that are stuck there that planned on an 8-day trip to space is now turning into 8 months. And by the way, their ride left a few days ago. So they got to float there, looking out the window on the space station, and their ride home undocked without them and then safely landed.
Oh.
And they had to stay behind because there were issues with it. And a number of issues we've had with this spacecraft, primarily helium leaks on this flight. But NASA decided it was too risky to put them on board and send them home. So they're going to have to stay till February. And that is, psychologically, it's a little bit of a challenge when you are planning on an 8-day trip and it turns into an 8-month trip. But they're both professionals, Sonny and Butch, and they're test pilots in the United States Navy. I've known them for over 30 years and they're going to be fine. But we've got to get Starliner, the issues fixed so we can get that flying again, because along with the SpaceX Dragon spaceship, we need Starliner as well.
What's the longest you ever stayed in space? What was the longest?
So my longest flight was 16 days. So I've made 4 trips to the space station. My last one was, I was the last commander of Space Shuttle Endeavor. It was also Endeavor's last flight. And it's great. I mean, it's a fantastic job. I loved launching in a rocket ship, living in space, and then most importantly, safely getting home. But my brother, my twin brother, who I think you've met, Rich.
I met him, yeah.
Yeah, he did 2 long duration missions, so one of which was a year. So where I have 54 days in space, he's got 520 days, a lot.
Wow. And is he the one, is it true, he's the one that sent a suit to once upon a time?
That is correct.
And why did you send?
It was mom.
Hold on a second. I think we have the... I think
every space station needs a gorilla suit.
And
that is...
Here's the video of it right here. Your brother's in there? And who is opening this gear right here?
That's a guy named Tim Peake, who's a British astronaut.
Mm-hmm. And he has no idea about to pop out right now.
Yeah.
What was that?
That thing goes viral about once a year, that video. I'll be in the Senate chamber, and Mitt Romney will come up to me and say, "Hey, I just saw that gorilla video."
So you sent it to him saying you should scare the crap out of your colleague in the middle of space?
I've been on that space station 4 times.
Yes.
And it didn't take me long to realize that one thing was missing from the space station, and that was a gorilla suit. So I set it up on a Falcon 9 rocket, which blew up, destroyed the $100 billion docking adapter, but it also destroyed my gorilla suit. So then I got a new one on Amazon, shipped it to Cosmo, up to the space station, and my brother got to have a lot of fun with it for about a year.
Wow, that's a heck of a story. Maybe that could
and
be.
Then I sent the video to NBC, to NBC Nightly News.
Yes.
And then NASA got a little bit upset with me. They're like, "Why did you send this video to the NBC?" And I said, "Well, why would you send a gorilla suit to the space station and not do something with the video?"
It's like if a tree falls in a forest, you're not around, does it make a noise, right? So maybe
if nobody sees the gorilla in space, it's like he was never there.
What's the point? Exactly. I mean, seriously, sometimes you gotta tell these NASA people the way to do things. Maybe that could be your next book, a gorilla suit in space or something like that.
Maybe a gorilla.
There you go.
That's a good idea.
Senator Mark Kelly, I appreciate the time. Before I let you go, where are you watching the debate tonight? Where are you going to watch that?
Probably right here in my place in D.C.
Okay, very good. We appreciate the time right here. Everybody should go get the book, Mousetronaut Saves the World, based on a partially true story by astronaut Mark Kelly. and illustrated by C.F. Payne. It'll be great for your kids. Go check it out. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, Rich.
That's Senator Mark Kelly here on the Rich Eisen Show. Every space station needs a gorilla suit. I have no idea.
I think we need a gorilla suit.
No, we don't. Absolutely do not.
I mean, it's better to have a gorilla suit and not need
in
it.
In zero gravity.
Right. Need that's to
yeah,
have
yeah,
it.
Zero gravity.
You know, okay. So, however that saying goes.
All right, so that was Senator Mark Kelly from Arizona. Let's take Jason in Arizona. What's up, Jason?
Hello there. Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Thanks for calling.
Yes, absolutely. And I just want to preface my comment by saying that I like you guys. I'm going to disagree with you.
Okay.
But I do like you guys. I love the show. I'm from Michigan. Go Blue.
Attaboy.
I feel like we are experiencing a little bit of karmic, whatever you want to call it, from how much you just like twisted the knife into Ohio State over the past few months. But hey, we'll take it. We're going to live on that. What'd you say? You're going to live on the high of last year for...
It's about living, living in the moment, Jason. You know what I mean? Like we had 3 years of the moment. It would be amazing when nobody expects it to continue on against Ohio State, but, you know, all good. But what, like,
all
what,
good,
by the way,
yeah, but I love you
whatever,
guys.
Whatever
I love
you're about
it,
to...
I do want to disagree with you.
Disagreeing's
on the Tyreek
fine.
Situation.
About what situation?
Tyreek.
Okay.
I'm from a little town, Port Huron, Michigan, right outside of Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
I've been thrown around police in Port Huron. I've been thrown around by the police in Grand Rapids when I went to Grand Valley State. I've been thrown around by the police in Flint. I've been out there. Trust me, I'm ghetto. Like, I am the definition of ghetto. So my point is, let's just put what the police did on the side for a second. I date a lot of black women, so I'm around a lot of black kids. If I'm giving them a class, a master class on how not to be with the police, I'm showing them the Tyreek video. This is exactly the way you don't do it. So that's just my point. That's it. He was wrong. It was wrong and wrong and wrong. Put the police on the side. They could have been much worse. Remember, we were having these conversations about people dying when Colin Kaepernick was kneeling for the anthem. And everybody left him, hung him out to dry because they said, oh, that's bad for the NFL's dollar, bottom line. And they left him out to dry. Tyreek got put in handcuffs. He's fine. But this is how you go down that wrong road, by acting like that. So
by acting like what, Jason? Because he didn't open his window upon the second command of opening his window.
He told somebody to not knock on my window 18 times, and then he refused to roll down his window another 18 times. And like the guy was so out of line, he tried to order the police. That's like me calling up to your show and telling you how you're going to do your job.
Right, but I'm not going to throw you down.
I have to abide by your rules. Like, that's the same thing. And as black people in America, like, we all know, Rich, you're not black, but that's fine, but we all know what the rules are. We know how we want to get home safe. And this is just, and he's not without blame. And we need to emphasize the fact that, okay, you don't like what the police officers did. That's fine. I get it. But I got so much love for black people. It's unbelievable. And this is how you do not act in a traffic situation.
Jason, I appreciate your call.
That's not how you do it.
Jason, I appreciate your call. And we have no problem with anybody calling and disagreeing. I totally get that if Tyreek Hill was going 30 miles an hour, he wouldn't have been pulled over. This would never have happened. And I totally understand that the officers told him to roll his window down. But does that mean he should be yanked out of the car and everything else should happen after that? I will push back on that.
I'll push back on Jason the fact that you heard what he said. It's not like he was being militant. It's not like he was being flippant. It's just like, hey, don't knock on my window. He rolled the window down. I've seen way worse cases of people talking back to the cops and yelling at the cops that don't look like Tyreek. And I'm questioning if Jason, he said he was black, but I don't think he is, but whatever. That's not neither here nor there. The fact of the matter is I don't feel like he did anything wrong there. We've all seen videos of people yelling at the cops.
Dude,
and both black, white, Latino, whatever, and being way more disrespectful to officers than he was at that moment. So as far as his call goes, I disagree with him.
Again, we're fine with people disagreeing with us. We'll just, you know, obviously give our opinions.
Yeah.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. When we come back, we have a few things to hit here. I've got my top five week one performers.
Nice.
I appreciate you having that reaction.
Thank you.
And we remember James Earl Jones, who passed away yesterday.
Right as we went off the air yesterday.
That's exactly right. That's next. This is the Tuesday edition of the Rich Eisen Show, week one, 2024 NFL season. Listeners, please welcome a real finance nerd from our sponsor, NerdWallet. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Rich. Thanks for having me.
We all know NerdWallet for their credit card comparisons, but there's more to it than that, right?
So much more. Even for credit cards, it's not the basic this card versus that card. With us, you can filter for features you want, add your top cards to a comparison table, and get access to exclusive offers.
Smarter tools, smarter financial decisions.
Exactly. Beyond credit cards, we research and review thousands of other financial products, from high-yield savings accounts to mortgage lenders, so you can find the smartest products.
Hear that, world? NerdWallet is not just credit cards.
Thanks for that important PSA, Rich.
And where exactly should people go to compare and find these credit cards and savings account and mortgage rates and more?
NerdWallet.com/learn more.
Thanks again to NerdWallet, our paid sponsor of this segment. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
Hey, that's my line. Finance smarter, y'all. NerdWallet Compare Inc., NMLS 1617539.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Old Man, starring Jeff Bridges and John Lithgow. The hit show returns as the stakes get higher and more secrets are uncovered. The former CIA agent sets off on his most important mission to date, to recover his daughter after she's kidnapped. FX's The Old Man premieres September 12th on FX. Stream on Hulu. Back here. So as soon as the senator hopped off of Zoom, he reached out to say he wanted to send us the article. And I guess he scanned it and sent it. There it is.
Now, what year do we think this was?
I don't know.
He said he was in elementary school.
He's a 60-year-old man, if you can.
I was going to say, I don't want to out his age, but he's
fine. I mean,
right.
You can Google
60.
It.
He's 60.
1977 season. That's the
okay,
in the lead.
There you go. Oh, there it is. Okay.
That's right. He's from Jersey,
the
right?
The West Orange PAL lightweight Mustangs finished the 1977 season on November 26th by defeating the Trojans of Woburn, Mass. In the 8th annual Thomas A. Edison Bowl.
Ooh.
By a score of 19-0. The victory gave the lightweight squad a record of 9-0. And they were undefeated and unscored upon. Like, this is, I never thought I would equate Senator Mark Kelly with Al Bundy. But at least Al scored 4 touchdowns for Paul Kai in one game, right?
One game, a single game.
But he's got this thing. He's got a card.
He didn't play a lot.
I thought this was high school when he said it.
No, this isn't
high school.
They're like eight years old.
They're the lightweight Mustangs.
When he was saying it, I was thinking high school. But
I know some of those names that are in there. Tom Sharkey, they were from my area.
What do you mean you know some of these people?
I know that there were two names in there. Amorosi, I know, is in the end.
Well, and in 77, you'd be like, you're almost as old as...
They're my brother Frank.
Mike, you're what, 2 years younger than the senator?
So you know
right there, Tom Sharkey.
Quarterback Pete Feinblatt? You know Pete Feinblatt?
No, but hang on.
Who else? Jake Cunningham?
Yeah.
Jim Cunningham?
Richie Cunningham?
So they would have been from
Chuck Cunningham.
Bob Fagan,
this
I know.
Oh, Mike, you know that guy. He owes you $10.
Wait, Mike, hey, can you get one of those guys on the show? Because we're still waiting for Chris Christie.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show, everybody. Back on our radio network. Game Time tickets. Start buying tickets. Susie took Zan to a concert here in the area. Use Game Time tickets. Great. Great time. Great seats. Great price. The whole business. It was very easy. Easy peasy. So we use it. When we tell you about it. We're not just telling you about it. We actually use it.
Yeah.
And it really does take the guesswork out of buying tickets. You get to see your view from the stage. You get to see how much it costs before you buy it. The Game Time Picks is a new feature that filters out the fluff, shows you only incredible deals on great seats. You don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. So download the Game Time app, create an account, use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem our code RICH, you get $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it?
Game time.
Ooh. I got a top five list, everybody.
Hey.
Top five performers of week one. Hit it. Hit it.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Rich's top five.
All right, here we go. The top five performers of week one in the National Football League. here's my boy.
Hey.
He's my boy, Pewter.
How is this not Pewter, number one?
My boy, Pewter. Baker Mayfield. 24 of 30, 289 yards, four touchdowns, no interceptions. No quarterback had a better passer rating, whatever the hell that means, in the first week of professional football than this guy. A 146.4.
Balling.
I mean, he was balling out, and he's like barking at everyone. This is my city. I love it. I love it. And I'm sorry I chose the Falcons to win the NFC South.
Just immediate handout.
I immediately, by the way, on yesterday's Overreaction Monday, took it back.
Yeah. Hey, raise your hand if you picked the Bucks.
You did.
Great job, TJ.
You and, by the way, Gerald McCoy stuck with him. Well, that's no surprise.
No surprise. But
the way you love the Cowboys, he loves the Bucks.
He's contractually obligated.
You guys really, you're on it.
But he does it. Number four on this list. Okay, guys.
TJ Watt.
I'm putting TJ Watt right here.
Dude.
I mean, the guy had a sack and two tackles for loss. That's always on the stat sheet. A sack and two tackles for losses. And he had a fumble recovery. But he also had two sack force fumbles called back. One by his own offsides, where he was ruled a hair offsides. And then there was one a defensive secondary penalty behind him. The guy was wrecking the whole friggin' game.
I swear he was lined up in the backfield.
So, with all due respect to even what we're saying about the Falcons, I'm sure Kirk Cousins is just like, throw it out, because I'm not seeing T.J. Watt the rest of the year. And hopefully he gets to see him in the Super Bowl. T.J. Watt was awesome. He was a game wrecker. Number three on the list, I'm going with the kid, man. And going whether he found out Friday night or 90 minutes before the game, whatever. He still, even if he found out Friday night, he had to think about it for a weekend and envision it and just stew on it. Jordan Mason,
baller.
28 carries, the most by a 49ers player in 13 years. By the way, that's the length of the Jets' current playoff season without a playoff season losing streak right now. He was incredible. He did stuff that McCaffrey wasn't even asked to do. 28 carries, 147 yards, and a touchdown.
Crushed it.
He's number three on my top five week one performances list. Number two is that guy in Western New York, man. Right. Now, you said it earlier. Two in the air, two on the ground. Last guy to do it is Pro Football Hall of Famer Steve Young. When it looked pretty bleak, 17-3, Arizona comes in and starts hitting Bills Mafia in the mouth. He's like, I'm leaping over people.
I got this.
I've got this. Yeah. The Mandalorian quarterback just took off and just took it under his own advisement, in his own hands, in his own legs. Josh friggin' Allen was incredible. He had 39 rush yards, two on the ground, 232 in the air, two touchdowns there. I mean, spectacular. And number one, though, he walked from the Giants down to the dreaded Philadelphia Eagles for the Giants. And for the Eagles, they're happy to just stick it in the Giants fans' face, man. Saquon Barkley, 132 total yards, three touchdowns, a gorgeous grab in the air to start it, two on the ground after it. What a dream beginning for Saquon Barkley in Philadelphia. Number one on my list of performances.
You think we need one more?
I'll do you one more.
All right, we'll get one more.
Chris Long said it yesterday when he was on the program. He will never forget where he was when he watched Xavier Worthy carry the ball for the first time in the National Football League. We were all in Arrowhead.
Yeah.
Not you, Mike. You were back there. We were there. And this just in, the Andy Reid, go figure, knows what to do with the fastest guy in the history of the scouting combine. One in the air, one on the ground, three touches, two of them for scores. He's like Chris Carter. All he does is score touchdowns, right? Unbelievable. And that's your one. You know, Mike, just because it's week one.
You think we need one more?
Yes, two more.
All right, we'll get one
and
more.
It's week one, so we might have one more twice. They're people, too. Not punters.
Oh.
Chris Boswell of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Six field goals, three of them over 50. No Steeler has ever kicked three of them over 50, and he had the entire scoring, but this one you see on the screen. This is what made Chris Boswell make this list, because in this game, it was 15-10. Pittsburgh is up. The Falcons get off the field, punting from their own 27-yard line with 3:40 to go. and the punter Cameron Johnson gets hit, and he goes down, and he goes down in a heap, and there's a flag, and you think, okay, Atlanta's going to be called for roughing the punter or running into the punter. Instead, it's a hold on Pittsburgh for throwing the Falcon into the punter, who, by the way, suffers a season-ending injury. Didn't know that at the time. But what do? They call on Boswell to emergency punt because the Falcons rightfully didn't take the yardage on the back end. What they did is they forced the Steelers to re-kick with their place kicker. And the first career punt for Boswell, he sends it to the opposition 40-yard line, 51 yards from his own 17-yard line. 51 yards, no return. Come on. And sure enough, the Steelers get the ball back, and Boswell kicks his sixth field goal to end the day. That is one of the top performances of week one. Help the Steelers win the game. Because he could have shanked that thing, and that thing could have been over.
Do you remember? Also, Jake Moody was 6-for-6 last night.
He was, but he didn't punt, did he?
No. You remember when we were kids, and it felt like kicking a 50-yard field goal was a... He's going to do what? A 50-yard field goal?
I know.
This weekend, kickers were 21 of 23 from 50-plus yards. Justin Tucker, ironically, missed one. Maybe the greatest kicker ever. It just seems like it's automatic now, 50-plus yards.
Before we go out the door here, when I went to the University of Michigan and I first got introduced to that scene and that school and the alumni base, one of the first names I heard about as the in the alumni base that leapt out at me as the famous alumni base was James Earl Jones. I'm like, wow, you went to Michigan, huh? Because obviously, if you're a fan of movies, TV, or stage, one of the great stage actors of his time as well, the voice of James Earl Jones, the acting ability of James Earl Jones, you had to love him. Voice of Darth Vader, right? Mm-hmm. Field of Dreams, his speech about loving baseball. The Sandlot as well, just in terms of sports fans. James Earl Jones in the 1993 All-Star Game in Baltimore, he spoken worded the national anthem. Go seek it out. Major League Baseball tweeted it out yesterday after his passing. We had Patrick Renna on this program and asked him about being a bunch of kids on the set of The Sandlot and acting with James Earl Jones and what it was like being on the set with him. Did you know who he was when you...
Oh, yeah.
Everyone knew who James Earl... Because you got 13, 12, and 11-year-olds.
Yeah, we all knew him.
As Darth Vader?
As Darth Vader.
Come on.
Marty York went up to him. None of us had the guts to... He was there for a day. And he had this huge trailer. And he's larger than life. And he's famous James Earl Jones. We're all, like, speechless. And he was so cool. But we also were all supposed to have a scene with him. And the director changed it to just having Scotty Smalls and Benny in the scene with him. So we didn't even act with him. We just, I think, were like, he like looked at us and laughed in one scene. So none of us had the guts to talk to him. Marty York goes up to him and goes, sir, I hear you're James Earl Jones or something like that. Yeah. Or you know that he said, you were Darth Vader in Star Wars. And he looked at him and said, no, I am your father. That was it. That was the only time any of us talked to him. And I mean,
come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. It was pretty great. I didn't need to meet him after that. I was like, that's good. It's done.
He gave you really what you wanted.
He really did.
That's a hanging curve.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I am your father.
I'll never forget. I remember that day just seeing him from afar being like, that's James Earl Jones. Field of Dreams had already come out. You know, you've seen him in plenty of movies. And then, of course, knew him as that voice. And it was the perfect age because... You're about to be a teenager who doesn't love Star Wars.
That's Darth friggin' Vader.
Wow.
93 years old. What a full life led.
No doubt about that.
Right? Did you see the Empire State Building last night? They lit it up and put Darth Vader on it.
Mark Hamill tweeted out, R.I.P. Dad.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Yeah.
This point, if you haven't seen
Oh my gosh!
45 years ago.
Yeah, it's like
So rest in peace, James Earl Jones.
No doubt.
That'll wrap it up for our show. I want to thank today's guest, Senator Mark Kelly, in his new book, children's book. Everybody should go get it. Matt Eberflus, want to appreciate him and the heroes of the Heed the Call podcast, Dan Hanzus and Mark Sessler. Bruce Feldman's going to be here tomorrow talking college football. And then we start turning the page to week two.
I know, baby.
Rest
the king
in peace.
Is Amanda.
That's right.
King Joffe Jaffer.
That's right. Rest in peace, James Earl Jones. Go Blue.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt, movie director James Mangold.
I'd want to turn Bob Dylan to a simple character with a simple thing to unlock that then makes you go, ah, now I get him. First time I sat down with him, he said, what's this movie about, Jim? It's about a guy who's choking to death in Minnesota and reinvents himself in a brand new place, becomes phenomenally successful, starts to choke to death again, and runs away. And he smiled. He was like, I like that.
Rolling Stone Music Now. Wherever you listen.